Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, July 10th. Coming up today, we'll hear from bosses in Kent as Operation Brock is set to be deployed for the summer holidays. We've also spoken to a youth football club about how England's run in the Euros has encouraged more kids to sign up. But first, taking a look at our top story today. People living in part of Ashford say they're fed up with parents blocking their drives during the school run. They claim mums and dads taking children to the Willsborough schools on Highfield Road are resorting to dangerous and lazy measures. Joe Habbett has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. Joe, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today. First of all, what sort of complaints have been coming from the neighbours about the school?
So parking is the main issue residents are having on the estate. School parents, they're basically parking on double yellow lines, but also sort of parallel to each other on some of the cul-de-sacs nearby so people can't get through. It actually led sort of one woman to suffer about £180 worth of damage to her Peugeot when it was hit by a parent's car during the school run in the afternoon. It basically, you know, well, it did. It caused her tail light to break and one of her wheels to need to get replaced. What was even more sort of worrying from her point of view was that her car was actually stationary outside her house. It wasn't even moving. It happened when a parent sort of parked across the lady's drive on, you know, on a drop curb and then sort of drove off quickly. So, yeah, the whole sort of issue has just been described as unnecessary and basically carnage across the whole road outside the school.
What impact is it having on the people who live nearby?
Some people could argue it's sort of a combination of typical parking issues. But it's important to remember, you know, the schools are made up of an infant school and a junior school. And together they've got nearly 1,000 pupils, which is, well, a very big size for a primary. So when you add that into sort of a traditional sort of suburban estate, it's inevitably going to lead to problems, especially as, you know, these residents told me it's only getting worse given the hectic nature of, you know, 21st century life with everyone rushing to get around and get to work sort of thing.
And what have school bosses and council said?
So school bosses, yeah, they say they are aware of the issues and the impact it is causing on neighbours. They told me they even write quite often to parents, reminding them to park considerately. The school have also said they've worked, you know, have worked and got measures in place with Kent County Council to recruit two school crossing patrol officers, people, you know, that used to be called lollipop ladies or lollipop men. They sort of wanted to do this to help children feel sort of more safe nearby. But obviously that's not sort of that, as well as that is useful for pupils and things getting to school, it's not helping as the source of the problem with regards to parking and even speeding as well, which some people have said is you know, ongoing. When I actually visited Highfield Road, where the school is, two traffic wardens did actually pull up and were sort of monitoring the area during the school run in the afternoon. But when I contacted Ashford Borough Council, they said, you know, they obviously have to patrol many schools in the borough during these busy periods. So naturally, they can't be there every day, the officers. What they did tell me, though, was they haven't received sort of high numbers of complaints for pupils going to Willsborough. Which is obviously interesting given some of the comments residents have made already. And the fact some also said, you know, deterrents like speed humps should be considered for the street, which is, you know, something that, you know, someone wouldn't say lightly given it's, you know, right outside their home. So the views of the council certainly seem to differ from the people who live in the area and witness what's sort of going on in the road every day.
Thanks, Joe. Another of our top stories today, a school cleaner from Deal says she's considering taking formal action after being sacked by text. Chloe Nicol had been off sick from her job at Sandwich Technology School when she received the WhatsApp message from her supervisor. She was told a P45 would be sent as her fit note had expired. Chloe has been speaking to Sam Lennon.
You were fired by your employers. How were you told?
They text messaged me.
They fired you by text?
Yes.
How do you feel about that? I mean, at the time, shock?
Yeah, quite shocked, a bit confused, panicky.
And what do you think of the method they did? Instead of summoning you to the office or sending you a letter?
Yeah, slightly unorthodox. I thought that was a little bit not unpersonal. Not great.
Did they say to you why you were fired?
Nope. It just said that, so I'm actually signed off at the moment. So it said that I hadn't given them my fit note yet and that my P45 will be in the post.
Is that the reason they gave you? They hadn't received your sick note?
Yes.
What will you do now?
panic mainly and start looking for another job. I'm really unsure. Yeah, it sort of threw me off a little bit.
What are the kind of work you'll get?
So due to the Tourette's, it's kind of difficult. That job was perfect. I could just go in. I was pretty much on my own. I could get on and go home. And now it's going to be a bit harder.
Ridgecrest Cleaning Limited of Aylesford have since offered her job back, but she intends to raise a formal grievance.
Kent Online News.
A motorcyclist from Greenhithe has died after a crash. Bradley Leydent was riding a Honda CBR motorbike in Cambridgeshire when he left the road at around 4:20 last Wednesday afternoon. The 38-year-old was taken to hospital but died yesterday. Thousands of vapes and cigarettes have been seized from shops across Dover as part of a police crackdown. Seven shops were inspected last Wednesday following reports of illegal sales in the area. Over 3,000 cigarettes, 2 kilos of tobacco and 1,000 illegal vapes were found. Two men have been arrested after a digger was stolen in Greenhithe. Police arrested the pair after they were spotted loading the vehicle onto the back of a van in Cobham Terrace at around 8:30 last Monday night. The pair, aged 38 and 44, were arrested on suspicion of the theft of both vehicles. They've been released on bail. Police have released CCTV images of a man they want to speak to after a car was broken into in Tunbridge. It's alleged the man made threats with a wrench before fleeing when challenged by a passerby in Barden Way yesterday. We've shared the image at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Operation Brock's back in place on the M20 from tomorrow, with the road closed tonight to install the barrier. It means the motorway between Maidstone and Ashford will be reduced to 50 miles per hour as traffic is separated into different lanes to control HGVs heading to the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel. Toby Howe from the Kent Resilience Forum has been speaking to Lucy.
As per usual, when we come up to any holiday period, we liaise with both the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel to get a picture of what bookings they've got. This summer, we've been told it's going to be the busiest since the pandemic, so we are expecting some very busy weekends ahead. So the first one being this weekend, Saturday the 13th, hence we are having Brock put out in anticipation of that overnight tonight, so that the M20 be ready for tomorrow and the coming weekend.
And I'm sure for a lot of people who regularly drive that way, it feels like Operation Brock's only just been lifted and now it's coming back in. I mean, is that maybe a bit of a frustration for residents?
I think it is, and I fully appreciate it. I mean, I personally have to drive quite a lot on that part of the M20. And so, yes, totally understand the appreciation and the concerns from people. When it is out. The reality is it's a 50 mile an hour speed limit as opposed to 70 mile an hour. So in theory, it's only going to take sort of up to 3-4 minutes difference in time travelling along that. But it's the benefits across the rest of the county that it creates by being able to hold that. So while the motorist using that section, there will be some delay. It's better than poor residents in a lot of East Kent that when there is that congestion, if we didn't have Brock, they can't even get off their drives, emergency services can't get to them, etc. So it's getting that balance really of the bigger picture across Kent.
Could you tell me a bit about the new permit system for lorry drivers?
One of the problems that we have when Brock is out, that although all HGVs heading to Europe that are over 7.5 tonnes legally are required to come down the M20 and A20, many do look at alternative routes. So enforcement is very difficult on all of the possible routes. So a lot of lorries then end up coming by other means, ending up in Dover, causing a lot of congestion. And it's very difficult to manage that once they've all reached those points. So what we've proposed this time round is to have a permitting process, so that all the lorries that are leaving either Brock or some of the alternatives such as Sevington Inland Border Facility or some of the truck stops, they will be issued with a permit. And if you get to the Port of Dover without a permit, you will be turned round. So it's really getting that message out. We've been liaising with the all of the freight organisations, a lot of the freight companies, etc., to stress why that is there and to make sure that they understand it. So permits will be handed out. As I say, there will be a point prior to the Port of Dover where they will be checked to see if they've got that permit. If they haven't got that permit, they're turned around and sent back to Brock to pick up a permit. So the intention of that is to really then get the message out there that all HGVs must use Brock, must be controlled, and then hopefully that will mitigate the impact of them looking at alternative routes.
A Tunbridge pet owner who failed to register his XL bully type dog in time has been fined. Josh Miller from Whetstead Road had his dog seized by police due to concerns it was a dangerous breed, but it was returned 9 weeks later after being deemed safe. Despite that, the 31-year-old was charged with possessing a fighting dog. He's also been ordered to pay £500 to police towards kennel costs. There's anger over plans to change the names of several schools in Kent. Lee Academies Trust has announced the plans, which will also include bringing in new uniforms. From September, Eastcote Primary will be known as Lee Stationers Primary Academy instead. The Trust says it's been done following an extensive consultation. A Kent Youth Football Club has been telling us how more kids have been signing up since the start of the Euros. Daryl Dillon is one of the coaches at Tiny Titans, which holds sessions for children aged 18 months to 5 years. He's been telling us how England's inspiring run through the tournament has encouraged more people to get involved.
Obviously, in anything you do, children will always peak an interest and obviously lose interest in things, you know, get a bit of a phase, find a different interest. So some, you know, some children stay, some children leave, you know, and we had three contact us the other day just to say, you know, it sparked an interest for them to come back. So, you know, they're all coming along this weekend and it is really nice to see, to be honest.
Is it a pattern that you've seen with, say, the World Cup as well and previous tournaments like that? Do you see this increase in interest every time England are doing well in a tournament?
Football will always bring an interest into children's activity and sport. World Cups, Euros, you know, the excitement of it. You know, I myself, I mean, my daughter watched the game. So, you know, she as soon as she watches a football match, she wants to go and play football. My son's the same. So yeah, it happens in every tournament that goes ahead internationally. It is a big difference between domestic and international football. In domestic you don't really see it as much, but international football, obviously the whole country comes together and it becomes sort of a community. Yeah, use it again, you know, a community, a national sort of interest. So yeah, children definitely do pique interest during tournaments.
I was speaking to my husband a couple of nights ago. He's a school teacher, and he was saying to me that in the playground, he's seeing a lot more bicycle kicks coming through and also kids practicing no-look penalty shots. Is that something that you've been seeing in the classes as well?
Well, not so much the classes. We have grassroots football as well. So, you know, we instantly, after England had obviously got through that game, you know, we started receiving videos of the kids in the garden doing bicycle kicks. So yeah, you know, these football players, they're their idols. You know, they need to be role models. You know, and obviously children will watch them and follow in their footsteps and copy them. So, you know, a bicycle kick or, you know, no look penalty, it will always inspire children to try it, which is amazing.
Kent Online News.
The Kent Online podcast has been told the four new Greens MPs will make their voices heard, particularly when it comes to house building. It's after the Chancellor announced in her first speech there'd be a shake-up of the planning rules to increase the number of homes being built. Rachel Reeves also promised to bring back housing targets, although Maidstone Council leader Stuart Jeffrey, who stood for the Greens at last week's election, says that's nothing new.
The bringing back of mandatory targets is a bit of a joke because they never actually went. You know, if you speak to any councillor across the country, the rhetoric from the last government was simply a lie. I mean, those targets were mandatory. Nobody got away with reducing them. What I'm more worried about in many respects is the kind of approach that it heralds. We've already had a really top-down approach over the last however many years it is, in terms of house building and targets and where things go, how they progress and so forth. What we're seeing is that the new government is kind of doubling down on that, and that doesn't spell a great deal of promise for local democracy, for local people. So it means that we are going to have to shout louder and harder and fight our corner even more. Rachel Reeves was talking about where, not how many. And yeah, that's always been the case. as far as I can see. But she's also talking about overturning previous planning applications that were declined. So that kind of contradicts that where, because if we've said not there, somewhere else, then why is she talking about enforcing that first place? There was one good bit of it, which I must point out, the lifting of the onshore wind ban. That's clearly a positive, but that was the only real glimmer of light within that speech that I could see.
Just on the on the onshore wind farms, obviously the ban's been lifted. Where does the Green Party sit on those? I mean, obviously renewable energy is an excellent resource that we should be seeing more investment in, but obviously they have to be built somewhere. So is it a bit of a balancing act for you? Is that yes, we're happy for them to be built, but definitely in only specific places?
Yeah, I mean, the onshore wind is the cheapest version of wind, and clearly we can't put onshore wind everywhere, but you know, it does need to be the right place. But we do need far more of it because it is really, really essential. We are a very windy island. We're surrounded by sea. I mean, the preference in my book is always offshore wind because, frankly, the times at which there isn't a breeze across the ocean are very rare indeed. And the new technology of floating turbines is really good. So, you know, things are moving on and that's the ideal place. But there are some great spots and useful spots that complement that onshore as well. Yes, we are absolutely committed to renewable energy. Anything that's not renewable will run out, for example. So why would we want something that's not renewable?
Bosses in Medway are considering plans to put more plainclothes police officers on the streets to stop assaults on women and girls. It's part of Council's Community Safety Partnership Plan, which sets out how they'll tackle crime over the next 3 years. The CSP also includes steps to reduce reoffending and address drug and alcohol problems. Now, the wait for a new flyover at the Stockbury roundabout is almost over. A lane in each direction is due to open tomorrow. £92 million has been spent redesigning the junction off the M2 near Sittingbourne in a bid to ease congestion. The flyover has been added to keep traffic on the A249 moving. A building on the Kent coast that's been a Coastwatch station for more than 20 years could be turned into an Airbnb. The former bathing station in Herne Bay has been put on the market, with estate agents saying it could also be converted into a cafe. It's on the market for £256,000. And a new business has opened in Tunbridge, which is a one-stop shop for all things dog. The Pup Cup has launched on the High Street and has a dog-friendly cafe and pet accessory boutique on the second floor, and the owners plan to add a dog washing station in the next month. There are also plans for an event space for yoga sessions and film nights. Katina Jarvis is the brains behind it. She's been speaking to Cara Simmons.
I always knew I was supposed to be here. So, yeah, I always say I was born American, but I'm British at heart.
Oh, that's lovely. And also, you're right next to a castle now, which is just
exactly,
amazing.
Exactly, even
a little castle for you. Give me just a brief overview of what you currently sell and what your plans are for the shop, because I know you've got a lot of ideas.
Yeah, so at the moment, we've started off slowly for the first week and a half, where we've got all kinds of nice baked different desserts, cakes and Rice Krispie treats and tray bags, just in cookies. I like cookies, so I always think that's nice to have cookies. I love to bake, so once I get my baking on the licensed premises, then I'll do a lot more American baked stuff that I want to have here, because that's my favorite thing to do. I'll still keep some of the sort of traditional English baked stuff, but I'd like to do more of that you guys wouldn't normally find over here. So have a little bit of a niche in that aspect.
What sort of thing?
Well, my favorite thing is pies. So fruit pies. I make really good pumpkin pie, pumpkin bars, where they've got like a cream cheese filling in them. I do a rhubarb pie, but it's not tart. It's got like a cream filling in it, so it's actually got the sweeter aspect of it. So my neighbor who hates rhubarb loves rhubarb when I made that pie. I also like to make desserts, like salads, but when I say fresh salads, I don't mean like lettuce salads. Some of them are, but I make like fresh broccoli salads and macaroni salads that have other little bits in it. It's just very normal, traditional in the Midwest. Women back there know how to cook and know how to bake because usually they have big families. So my dad was one of 14. And so my grandmother was the best cook and baker. And I've learned from her and from my mother. I just idolized that side of my grandmother.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the England's women's team will be cheering on the men tonight as they take on the Netherlands for a place in the Euro 2024 final. The Lionesses are preparing for their qualifier against the Republic of Ireland on Friday. Maidstone's Alessia Russo says they're taking time out to watch the match. There's been a lot of criticism of the three Lions performances during the tournament, but Alessia says they'll be tuning that out.
I think with us, we kind of didn't hear any of that noise, and I think that's important, and I have no doubt that the men are doing exactly that. When you're in tournament football, like I said, all that matters is that you win and progress. Obviously, in an ideal world, you'd like to play the best performance every single game, but sometimes that's not always possible. I would think that the noise is quite quiet within their camp, which is exactly how it should be. Hopefully the players having fun and just enjoying the ride of a tournament and knowing that they've got the full support of us back home.
Kickoff tonight is at 8. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.